So it's good to see everybody here. I hope everyone had a good time this weekend for those who could make it on Friday and Saturday. And we'll continue this journey by exploring the metaphor of the Christian race. There we go. This metaphor, which is woven into the fabric of scriptures, speaks to the very essence of our journey of faith. It's a race marked by a purpose, perseverance, divine grace, and an unwavering focus on the end of our race. But before we delve into the depths of the Christian race and its intersection with grace, first let's look at what grace is. Grace, in its most profound sense, is the unmerited favor and love God extends to humanity, to me, to you, to everybody. It is the divine gift that surpasses our understanding and offers redemption, forgiveness, and reconciliation through Christ. Grace is not something earned or achieved, as we know from Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not a result of work, so that no one may boast. Grace is a freely given expression of God's boundless love for us. Turning to the book of Hebrews, we find a compelling depiction of this race in the first two verses of chapter 12. Let me turn there. I probably have it up there. I do. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith." Imagine this race is a marathon, with each step echoing the footsteps of the saints, some who've come before us, some from a long time ago, some from more recent. They urge us through their stories, through their testimonies, and through the works we've seen maybe people in our lives do. They urge us to cast aside our weights that burden us down, our doubts, our fears, and the worldly distractions that catch us. The sin that so easily entangles us like a snare, seeking to hinder our progress. And kind of about snares, I know not every snare is the same, but a lot of snares just trap an animal, and it's the animal's force itself that ends up getting it. The struggle, trying to get out, is what tightens it up. That's where we can rely on grace to set us free. We don't get choked out by those troubles. And so we must discard these hindrances, casting them aside like a runner shedding heavy garments before the starting pistol is fired, all while our focus remains on Jesus, who leads us with grace and purpose through the course of our lives. The concept of grace is strongly linked to the encouragement to eliminate these obstacles and wrongdoing through this Christian journey. Grace is the divine catalyst that transforms our pain into purpose. It empowers us to release the weights that slow our progress. Just as Jesus forgave the woman caught in adultery and proclaimed, "Go and sin no more," or like the prodigal son returning to the waiting embrace of his father, we are invited to lay aside the shackles of sin, the heavy cloak of our past mistakes, and freely run in the assurance of forgiveness. Through grace, we step out of the shadows of our past and into the radiant light of Christ's redemption. Grace transforms our stumbling blocks into stepping stones as we navigate through life's challenges with renewed vigor. As we are reminded in Matthew 11:30, "His yoke is easy and his burden is light." Picture a marathon runner pressing on through the scorching sun or the biting winds, their eyes firmly fixed on the finish line. In a similar manner, our journey demands perseverance, a steadfast determination to overcome obstacles and endure trials. Perseverance is not the absence of difficulty. Lost my spot. Okay. Perseverance is not the absence of difficulty, rather it is the resolute commitment to press forward despite adversity. Here, perseverance and grace work hand in hand. Grace is not a passive force, it's a dynamic river that carries us forward when our own strength falters. Perseverance is the marathon runner's determination, while grace is the cool breeze that refreshes and revives. So we have our own strength, but it's not always enough to carry us forward. So there's an outside, there's a help that comes from the outside that refreshes us, and in some cases motivates us to keep going toward the finish line. In the pages of the Old Testament, we find a call to perseverance and grace echoed across generations. In Isaiah 40:31, we read, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." This timeless verse reminds us that as we run our race of faith, our hope in the Lord rejuvenates us, giving us strength to overcome weariness and trials that we face. In our journey, we will encounter seasons of dryness, moments of doubt, and trials that test limits of our faith. However, it is precisely at these times that our perseverance is refined, strengthening our spiritual resilience and deepening our reliance on God's grace. Let's remember the words of James in chapter 1, verse 12. Good. "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." And we talked a little bit about that last night, the crown of life being eternal life. Grace finds its ultimate embodiment in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the face of grace, the living testament of God's unmerited favor. Christ's life was characterized by grace-filled moments, healing the broken, forgiving the repentant, and extending compassion to the marginalized. And when we fix our eyes on Jesus, we encounter the very essence of grace. His life, his teachings, and his sacrificial death reveal the depth of God's redeeming love. Most people know John 3:16 and 17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." God loved us so much that even though we weren't deserving, he offered his Son up to die, to suffer for me, for you, for each of us as an individual, and all of us as a whole together. Christ's life on earth serves as the ultimate model of endurance, humility, and self-sacrifice. His earthly journey was marked by trials, rejection, and the weight of the world's sin upon his shoulders, yet he endured the cross, despising its shame, for the joy set before him, which we saw earlier in Hebrews 12. But what was the joy that he had? It was God's plan for redemption, the reconciliation of humanity with their Creator, fixing things between God and me, God and you, between God and us, our mediator. In moments of doubt or weariness, let us remember the resurrected Christ who conquered death and now sits at the right hand of the Father. Let us fix our eyes on him, knowing that he intercedes for us and draws us close to the Father's heart. In our observation of the Christian race, there's a truth that needs our attention. The race is not a distant event we merely prepare for. Rather, it's a journey that is already unfolding before us. Often, we find ourselves so absorbed in the preparations that we overlook the very course we are already traversing. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm speaking to myself, but I have that problem. We talk about practicing, but never actually performing what we practice. We're always, or I'm always, planning for something far in the future. But the race has already begun. We're not spectators awaiting a starting signal. We're the participants. We're the runners on this divine journey, and the starting pistol has already fired. The Apostle Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, the 9th chapter, 24th verse, imparts this wisdom. And here we are with the do you not know again. I think you were talking about that, Dan, Dad. It says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. In this passage, we can recognize that the race is not a future endeavor that we merely train for, but a present reality in which we are actively engaged. We can get the same idea when the psalmist declares in Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. As we run this race, God's word illuminates our path, providing clarity and guidance. It is a constant reminder that our journey is not confined to a distant horizon, but composed of steps that we take presently. So we're walking that path right now, or should be running that path right now, and every step we take, we get God's guidance and clarity, assuming that we look for it. The grace that propels us forward is not reserved for a future moment, but is infused in each stride we make in the present. Consider for a moment the earnestness with which an athlete runs in pursuit of a prize. Their focus isn't divided between readiness and action. They merge the two together seamlessly, I guess. Fully immersed in the pursuit of victory from the very start. It reminds me of a line by the melodic visionary and voice of generations. Can somebody guess who that is? So somebody who's heard one of my two or three sermons. It's Bob Dylan, yeah. You guessed it. He sings, he not busy being born is busy dying. So even though our race has already begun, and I did talk about we're not in the preparation for the race, we're in the race. Even though we're on the race, we still learn from our past strides, and so that we can make improvement for our present stride and hopefully our future strides. Similarly, our faith journey demands of us not only diligent preparation, but a wholehearted commitment to the race that is already underway. As we approach the finish line, grace takes on an even deeper significance. The finish line is shrouded in mystery and yet filled with hope. It's a finish line that signifies not an end, but a glorious beginning. Revelation 21:4 paints a vivid picture of this new beginning. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. The end of the race is a destination that surpasses our wildest imagination. It's not an end of our need for grace, but it's an entrance into the fullness of grace. Grace perfected is the way I see it written a lot of times. It's a realm where every tear of sorrow is gently wiped away by the hand of God. In that realm, death's sting is nullified forever, and pain gives way to everlasting joy. As we journey towards this eternal destination, our focus on the end of the race sustains us through the trials of the present. As we continue our contemplation of the Christian race, it becomes evident that this race differs significantly from the conventional races that we see or maybe we participate in. In a typical race, there is often a single winner who crosses the finish line ahead of all the others, and they take the prize. They are the winner. They're better than everybody else. They're the sole glorified person. I mean, sometimes they're second and third, but everybody wants that first place. However, our race defies this norm in that there can be many winners, each crossing the finish line to claim the ultimate prize, the crown of life that we mentioned before. Paul beautifully captures this unique aspect in his letter to the Philippians. It's in chapter 2, verse 12. "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Paul's words remind us that our journey of faith is not a competition to outpace one another. Rather, it's an individual and a collective striving to work out our salvation with a reverence for God's grace. This truth calls us to a sense of unity and camaraderie that is unlike any other. We're not running against each other, but alongside each other. We're on the same team. As a community of believers bound together by a shared purpose, our goal is not to outdo one another or our fellow runners, but to uplift and support them on their journey, just as we hope they will support and uplift us when we need. Galatians 6:2 reminds us of our responsibility to one another. It says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." In these words, we find the call to extend our hands to those who stumble, to share the weight of their struggles, and to help them continue the race with renewed strength. Imagine a race where, instead of jostling for position, runners lend a hand to those who falter, where encouragement replaces rivalry, and where the joy of crossing the finish line is multiplied by the knowledge that we've helped other people reach this goal, and other people helped us reach the goal also. Let's notice in the insight of Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, when he says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." This is the race that Christ calls us to run, a race marked by compassion, selflessness, and a genuine concern for our fellow runners. We care about each other. This group, the other groups that maybe we don't see often, the other groups that we've never met, we have a genuine care for them. We have a desire that they share in the reward with us. And as we near the final stretch of the marathon, grace calls us to finish strong. The Apostle Paul captures this sentiment in 2 Timothy 4:7. Good. "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." These words echo resoundingly also in Philippians 3:14, which says, "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Grace does not lead to complacency, but propels us toward a life of purpose and impact. Earlier, my dad brought out the verse, I forget the reference, and I'm not going to even try to, about we sin, but we have grace to get us past the obstacle, but that doesn't mean to keep sinning just because we can get out of it. So I kind of see that as complacency, maybe. We're satisfied to not advance. But it propels us toward a life of purpose and impact. It compels us to love more deeply and to serve more selflessly and to embrace each moment as an opportunity to reflect God's glory. The finish line is not an end. It's a doorway into a realm where grace abounds beyond measure, a realm where we will fully comprehend the depths of God's love and mercy. The finish line is not an excuse to coast or grow complacent. It's an opportunity to dig deeper into our faith, to grow stronger on our dependence on God, and to love more intensely. To finish strong requires us to cultivate a heart that is firmly grounded in faith, hope, and love. Our faith is the anchor that keeps us steady amidst life's storms. And our hope is the compass that guides us, hopefully, to the finish line, at the end of the race. And it reminds us that our journey is leading us to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. And our love is the driving force that compels us to reach out to the weary and the wounded, extending the same grace that we ourselves have received. So to summarize, the Christian race is a journey of purpose, perseverance, and grace. And as we navigate the course set before us, let's remember that grace is not a distant concept. It's a living reality. It's a divine force that sustains us on our journey through life. We can't make it on our own. We have grace to fill in the gaps that we can't do on our own. So grace is a living reality. It's a divine force that sustains and transforms and empowers us through every trial and triumph. Through grace, we cast off hindrances, run with endurance, and fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's embrace our race with open hearts, ready to extend our hands to those who stumble, to lift those up, to lift up those who are weary, and to run side by side with our brothers and sisters in Christ, where the victories of one become the victories of all. As we run together, reaching for the ultimate prize, this crown of life that we've mentioned, may we echo the words of Paul in 2 Timothy 4:7. We've covered that. But he says, I've fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So that when we eventually cross that finish line, when God's paradise will be here, back on earth, established again, we can have a relationship with him again. We will be greeted with the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," and receive that crown of life. Each of us, me, you, all of us, so that we can be there together. Just like on the game board, everyone's there together. I guess that's it. The end. Thanks, everyone, and I think my dad's going to lead us in a song.